Psalms 119, if you would, please. Psalms 119. Tonight. And we're going to begin in verse 41 tonight. Psalms 119 and verse 41. Entitled the message tonight, The Benefits of a Treasure. The Benefits of a Treasure. You know, there are benefits to a variety of things in life, but you must take advantage of those benefits. When we were sailing to the Philippines in 1989, one of the things that, if you know anything about the Philippines, that you're probably going to encounter is mosquitoes, and with those come malaria. And so on that ship, for the days that we sailed, 3, 4, 5 days, I forget how long it was, we took a pill. And that pill was to keep us from malaria. Worked very well if you took it. We had a sergeant who basically told us that he was too big and bad to take the pill. And so they would hand it to him. He'd open his mouth and throw it over the side of the ship. And he got malaria. And he got the killing kind, not the make you real, real sick kind. It would take a while, but eventually it was going to take his life. And he all of a sudden changed his attitude about taking that pill. He was sick, sick, sick. Matter of fact, at first, we didn't know that he had the more serious kind of malaria. We just thought he was sick. And I can just tell you, there was a whole lot of hooting and laughing in that squad bay because he had bragged that he didn't need it. Pop it over the ship. And now he's laying there burning up with fever and shivering all over. And many guys went by and would look in the room. How you doing, Sarge? He'd be like, good job, see you later. You know, that's what they were. Why? Because he didn't take the pill. I took the pill, by the way. The last time I needed to take malaria was when I went to Papua New Guinea. And I decided instead of taking the pill, I would take a natural herb. Now, that works very well, by the way. And so I went to the store and got it and started reading the ingredients. I'd recommend you not do that if you're going to take the pill, all right? You would not. I only got about 4 deep in the ingredients, and I just turned the bottle away, and I said, how about I just swallow and don't even think about what's in it, worms and roots and all this other kind of stuff. But it also worked. I said, now, what's the point of all that? Well, we have a treasure in front of us, but it's only a treasure if you use it. It's not a treasure if it's just there that you're not going to take advantage of. And so tonight I'd like for us to see that you must allow the Bible to do its work in your life. You don't allow it to do its work, it doesn't benefit you. It's just there, but it doesn't really have a benefit. Story is told of a man who inherited everything that a relative owned. And it really came down to the most valuable thing was an old copy of a Bible. And the guy thought, well, that was pretty much worthless to go through the process of this will. Years and years later, he was getting ready to move into a smaller place, and so he began to go through the stuff, and he found this old Bible, reminded him of the will. And he thought, well, that crazy Bible, that's worthless to me. And he began to open it and flip through the pages, and the relative had hid $100 bills throughout the Bible. There were thousands of dollars in that Bible. A treasure that they didn't know they had. But greater than that, a treasure he didn't know he had in the very copy of the Word of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we ask you to help us to understand the truths that we're going to share tonight. May they be encouraging to our people. May we be able to apply them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to give you 10 things tonight, all right? So buckle down. We'll try to do them quick. It won't be that bad. Number one, the Bible gives salvation. The Bible gives salvation. Psalms chapter 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now, was the psalmist referring to physical salvation that could come as a result of enemies and so forth? Well, that's certainly talked about in the book of Psalms. Could he have been talking about a spiritual salvation? Well, we also know the word of God talks about that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So salvation comes from the word of God. Number two, the Bible has solutions. The Bible has solutions. Verse 42. So shall I have herewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. So the Bible, it talks about three different things there. It talks about the Bible is trustworthy. He says in verse 42, for I trust in thy word. I just heard someone recently say that the Bible is the truth. And what they meant by that was truth has become so nebulous out there in people's minds anyway, that this is the real truth, if you would. That almost seems crazy that we have to say that today, doesn't it? But he says, this book is trustworthy for me. He also says that it's truthful, as we've already mentioned in verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. And then in verse 45, he talks about, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Isn't it interesting that the world believes that the word of God is a restricting force, that it takes so much freedom away from us? But let's take our Bibles real quick and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. By the way, just as a side note, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's look up a little bit here. He is talking about false teachers, specifically in the context of chapter 2. And he talks about, in verse 17, there wells without water, clouds that carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. Look at verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So they believe that their freedom, their quote-unquote freedom, lets them live their life ever how they want to. But the fact is, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Corruption tells them what to do. All you got to do is look at the world. Can a drug addict say no to drugs? Is it not captivating to them? Now, yes, I know that through God's help they can say no, and some people have the self-discipline, but most of them are trapped forever. It tells them what to do and when they do it. Alcoholic, though it's crazy, lies down on the top of a mass. What do I do when I wake up? I'll seek it yet again. We could go on and on. Cigarettes and all those kind of things. They're captivating. Well, you have real liberty. Do whatever I want. But the Word of God is the one that really gives us the liberty. See, before we have to obey sin. We have no choice about it. After we know Christ is our Savior, we have the freedom not to sin. Because God has given us that ability now within us. Praise the Lord for that. And that is genuine liberty. By the way, liberty doesn't mean I get to do everything I want to do. Genuine liberty means I have the freedom to make right choices. And that there's a big difference. Our country needs to understand some. So, the Bible gives salvation. The Bible has solutions. Number three, the Bible helps with standing. The Bible helps withstanding. Look at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up into thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So the word of God gives me, helps me with my standing. That is, I have the courage to stand for what's right as a result of the word of God. He talks about a number of things here. One, he talks about delighting in verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments. In verse 48, he talks about meditating in thy statutes. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That we memorize, analyze, and personalize, allowing the word of God to become a part of us so that I can daily use it. And it gives me the boldness to be able to stand. And then he says three different times in this passage, in verse 49, where we already read, remember the word unto thy servant. Look at verse 52. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Look at verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night have I kept thy law. So I remembered, and it gives, again, it gives me that courage to be able to stand. Specifically, he talks about standing before kings. I'll not be ashamed to be able to do that which God has asked me to do. Number four, the Bible gives hope when you are slandered. The Bible gives hope when you are slandered. Look at verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Look at verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Look at verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Look at verse 69 and 70. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. So when things are going wrong, people are slandering you, people are standing against you, people are trying to knock you down, if you will, the Bible is that which, again, gives us that standing when everything else is falling apart around us. When people are trying to attack us, he says, Lord, I'm going to remember your law. I'm going to remember your commandments. I'm going to remember what you did for me, and that will help me to stand in those difficult days. Number five, Psalms 119, 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Number five, the Bible gives a song. The Bible gives a song. Aren't you glad for that? It's a new song too, by the way. It's not that old song. But praise the Lord that the Word of God is able to give us something that we can whistle and hum about and sing here. Now, we didn't say you got to sing it good, all right? But you have a song in your heart. I hope you have that. I hope as you read the Word of God, you can be reminded of His truths, and those truths will remind you of songs. I hope you sing to the Lord in your devotion time. It's a great way to worship the Lord, by the way. And you're alone anyway, right, most of the time in your devotion time. So it's okay to sing that way. People might think you're crazy if you're driving down the road singing or whatever. But sing to the Lord. Let Him know. The Bible will give us that song. Number six, the Bible takes me to school. The Bible takes me to school. Look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Look at verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Look at verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I've believed thy commandments. Look at verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. You see how many times God's, the psalmist is saying, teach me the things. Teach me what God's word has to say. Teach me how to handle this. Teach me how to handle that. Most of you started school this week, those of you that are teens and college students as well, and some more will start tomorrow, and some of you are thinking, I'm out of school, been out of school for quite some time. If you're out of school, have you stopped learning? I hope not. I hope you're still taking in things. I've shared with you a couple of times the way I'm doing my devotions right now. I read the same passage. Well, today was unusual in that it's a 31-day month. So I actually read this, the text that I was reading, the 31st time this morning in my devotions. You know what? I saw something this morning, almost an entire chapter that I had not put into a particular context. It was like, wow. It was as if it were custom wrote for me today. This was the 31st time I had read it. It was like the Lord said, hey, whoa. Back up there, pal. I was on about verse 2 when it hit me. Whoa, wait a minute. The whole chapter was that way. Don't you love it when God teaches you something new from the Word of God? And it shouldn't matter how many times you've seen it. Now, we have to be careful. This crowd, most of us, as I'm just glancing around the room once again, most of us have been in church years. Some of you have been in church your whole life, okay? And when someone opens a passage of Scripture, sometimes we say, oh yeah, heard that before. Yeah, that's David and Goliath, okay, yeah. Heard that before. Instead of coming to it with a newness of, okay, can I learn something new today? I actually had someone, it shocked me. I had someone one time in a counseling session say to me, why do I need to keep reading the Word? They're like I can get something new out of it anyway. And then they said this to me. They said, like, what new can I get out of the resurrection anyway? I already know He rose again. I almost didn't know what to say to them. Like, you're in big trouble, is what I wanted to say. Now, by the way, they're coming to me not because they weren't already in trouble. They were in trouble. That's why they were sitting in front of me to begin with. It's like, the Word of God can take us to school, all of us, no matter how many times we've read a particular passage. Number 7. Now, this one you got to bear with me. I was doing S's here, and I was doing good till I got this one, but you'll get it anyway, okay? The Bible helps me choose my sidekicks. I know that's a little stretch, but it's there anyway. You'll probably remember that one when you won't remember any of the other ones. The Bible helps me choose my sidekicks. Look at verse 53. And notice what he says here. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. So the writer is saying to them, as I observe people, I am horrified at the people who reject your law. Notice what he says in verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Do you see the difference there? He's saying, I'm horrified by the people who reject you and who reject your law, and yet I can be friends with those people who accept your law. I'm a companion of them that fear thee. I said this again, but I wish you could all hear the lesson that we're going through in Adult Sunday, the men's class on fear. He keeps saying we're doing a study on fear in the book of Proverbs. We ain't been in the Proverbs in weeks, I'm just trying to say. It's all right, Brother Kevin, you'll get there eventually, right? We're doing a whole study on fear. It's been excellent. One of the characteristics, I believe, of learning to fear God is getting in His Word and getting to know Him. And when you get to know Him, then you're going to be there. And He says, I want to be a companion of those people. And not only fear thee, but keep thy precepts. So it helps me choose the people that I'm going to be friends with. Because we know that iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We generally think of that in a negative way. Well, you hang around bad friends, you're going to turn out bad. Can I tell you, if you hang around good friends, it's sharpening you that way as well. But choose friends that will fear God and will keep His precepts. Number 8. We do not like this one. Just tell you up front. Look at verse 67. If you would, please. Verse 67. Behold, I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Number 8, the Bible scolds me when I'm wrong. In other words, the Bible disciplines me. It says, hey, wait a minute. You can't think that way. Hey, wait a minute. Did you just think that thought? Did you tell that lie? Wait a minute. What about that attitude? Did you really mean to say that smart aleck thing to your wife? Or to your children? Whoa, time out. Did you really eat that nugget that you didn't pay for at the restaurant? Hey, wait a minute. Sure you weren't supposed to say a word for the Lord there? The Word of God scolds me and says, hey, whoa, stop. What you doing? Now, do you all not know what I'm talking about? Are you just so convicted you don't want to admit it, right? But it does that for us all the time. I hope it does. It's supposed to. It's supposed to be a correcting force for us. And that's why we need to be daily in it. Look at verse 71. It says, it is good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Number 9, the Bible teaches me during suffering. The Bible teaches me during suffering. I'm reading an incredible book. It's about 500 pages, so I've got a ways yet to go in it. But it is dealing with, if God is good, why all the evil in the world? If God is good, why do we suffer? One of the comments that the author said in really the beginning stages of the book was this. We are constantly thinking in the realm of the physical. God is constantly thinking in the realm of the spiritual. So where we say, well, wait a minute, God. Why would you put that person through, you fill in the blank. God says, whoa, your life is just temporary anyway. I'm working on what you can be spiritually. Because the temporal really doesn't matter. But we so concentrate on that, don't we? We forget that there is an eternal out there. And God is more concerned about that. And if you suffer in the temporal aspect of it, it's not that he doesn't care about those things, but he cares far greater for your spiritual life, and he's drawing you to himself. And I hate to say this, but I am guilty, and most of you are guilty, that we're not near as desperate to know God when things are flourishing as they are when things are difficult. Our nation not having prayer meetings like they were days after 9/11. Why? Because we don't think we're as desperate to need God. But I'm thankful that it was good for me that I went through this affliction. Because then I knew more about you. Job said that, didn't he? I've heard of you of the hearing of the ear. But now my eye seeth thee. Therefore I abhor myself. Job knew God differently than he could have possibly known him without going through the difficulty. So many people have said that. We don't choose for suffering. I mean, I don't think any of us wake up this morning and say, God, I want to have a suffering day. Most of us don't ask for that. But many times we need that because it draws us closer to our God. It pushes us to the Word. when we're in those difficult days. Number 10, look at verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The Bible is more valuable than silver, and you can put gold there too, but the silver went with the S's. Bible is more valuable than silver. Is it really? What would you trade if you could get a copy of this book? If you didn't have one? Can I tell you how you can answer that question now? How valuable was it to you this morning? Is it more valuable than the extra hour of work that you can make that extra whatever money? Is it more valuable to you than you just fill in the blank there of whatever it may be? I've known men who moved their families to places where there was no good church because of a job promotion. And they basically said, money is more important than spiritual help for my family. Well, I tell you, God moves you somewhere you are to find out, okay, is there a good church where my family can go and get fed and their needs can be met there, and I can serve and pour my life into it? How valuable is the Word of God to you? Let me share with you an interesting story. I'm not sure I'm saying his name right, but Martin Niall Moeller, a courageous German pastor, spent years in a concentration camp because he spoke out against the ungodly influence that Adolf Hitler's regime exerted on the German church. He later said this about the Bible, and I quote, "What did this book mean to me during the long and weary years of solitary confinement, and then for the last 4 years in Dachau? The Word of God was simply everything to me. Comfort and strength, guidance and hope, master of my days and companion of my nights, the bread which kept me from starvation and the water of life that refreshed my soul." Did you get that? How valuable is the Word of God to you? Do you go after it as if you are dying of thirst and hunger? You've got to have it. You wake up in the morning, are you thinking about, I get time in God's Word today? See, it's a treasure. It's a benefit that we have. But it does us no good if we don't take it. If we don't ingest it into us and let it become a part of our lives. Which one of the above things do you need most? And why? You thought about that? Which one of these do you need most? As I look over this room, probably all of you know Christ as your Savior. Do you have a problem that the Bible can give the solution to? Because it has it. It's trustworthy. It's truthful. Maybe you're struggling with standing, and you need to find some boldness. Well, the Word of God can provide that. Or maybe someone is slandering you. Boy, you'd love to stand up and shout, wait a minute. Just let the Word of God be your defense. Do you have a song? Do you walk about humming, whistling, allowing it to impact you? Do you have a song on your lips all the time? Are you learning? Did you learn from the Word of God today? Are you planning to learn from it tomorrow and the next day? And are you applying the things that you're learning over your life? What kind of friends are you choosing? Do you choose those people that love God, that want to keep His commandments? Are you choosing people that should horrify you because of their actions? Does the Bible scold you? Does it give you a good old spanking sometimes and say, whoa, wait a minute, you can't do that? You ever had, if you can remember back that far, you ever had your mom or dad say to you, don't talk that way to whoever, your mom or your dad or that person, or don't speak disrespectful to them, or whatever it may be. The Word of God has a way of drawing us that way. Hey, whoa, don't do that. Are you allowing it to take you to school even in your suffering? How valuable is it to you? And what situation will it help you this week? Perhaps you know immediately, well, I know I'm facing whatever. You fill in the blank. Maybe you don't even know yet what you're facing this week. It's possible that someone in this room can face a tragedy this week. I don't know that, and certainly don't ask for that, but that's a possibility. Will you turn to the Word of God and let it be that source of strength for you? Are you allowing the Word to do its work in your life today? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Word and how incredibly valuable it is to us. Lord, I've been in countries where people did not have a copy of Your Word, and when they would get one, they would clutch it to their breast. And oh, how valuable it was to them. And Lord, we sometimes walk around as if we don't own a copy, when we should allow it to impact us. Lord, for all of these things, we pray that we'll allow them to dictate to us what needs to change in each one of those arenas that we preached about tonight. May Your Spirit of God take the specific application to the specific life and say, okay, right here is what we need. We know that You can do that. We ask You to tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand quietly to our feet, if you would, please. No one looking around.